truth that was in that song, Be Still My Soul. Our world is geared today to where your soul can't be still. That's when God really talks to us, is when we are content. And we're living in a very discontent world. A world that has speeded up, that is wide open in every direction. And when it's not wide open, it's full of noises. No quiet time. No still time. Run till you pass out at night and get up the next morning and start it all over again. No time for God to communicate with you. Amen? The minute your eyes open, click, the television comes on, and it stays on till you pass out at night, whether you're watching it or not. No quiet time, no still time. Amen. You got to have some quiet time. You got to have some time when you and the Lord do business, and you and the Lord communicate in fellowship. Amen. Thank you, Miss Tammy. That's a sweet song. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. Appreciate Brother Daniel leading that song there, and hallelujah, what a Savior. And I believe if anybody in the Bible could tell you what a Savior, it would be the Apostle Peter. Amen. I know Paul could, and Paul has, but Peter seems to have one of the best descriptions of him that we can find in the Word of God. And Peter never got over being saved. Look in verse 9 here, chapter 1. It says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." And now look at the latter part, "and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You know the state of mind of many of God's people in America today, they got over being saved. They got past what God had done for them. Amen? And if you ever get over what God's done for you, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You'll become extremely selfish, self-centered. You'll not have a heart to serve God. You'll not have a life that you want to dedicate to Him. You'll become very unthankful if you ever get over what He done for you. Amen. And we see that a lot in our second and third generation of Christians, because God didn't save them out of nothing. He saved them from something. And I don't believe the thankfulness and the appreciation is there in many cases, but not all cases. And we got a few exceptions here in the church that I believe. But you got to realize that God saved you out of something, rather from something. God saved me out of sin. He saved me from a very wicked life. And some of you young people here, and our church is beginning to grow full of our young people, the second, third generations. And you got to realize that God saved you from a whole lot. Now, you don't realize what He saved you from because you've never been out there to experience it. But I'm telling you, He saved you from a whole lot. Amen. And stuff that you don't want to experience. But I want to show you something here in the first four verses of 2 Peter that I believe that it describes our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And as Peter writes this epistle to the believers here, he knows evidently that his life is coming to an end. Look down in verse 14 of chapter 1. He said, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." I am a firm believer, if a person walks with God, they know when the time comes. I see that throughout the Word of God. Peter saw it right here. He knew that he was coming to an end. He knew that his life was fixing to be ended. And if you read the history of that time, Josephus is one of the great historians of this day. Peter was took to the Isle of Patmos. They said he was dipped in burning oil. He was put in a salt mine to work. With that infirmity. And eventually he was crucified upside down. Amen. So he knew that something was fixing to happen because God had showed him. God told Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, you're going to have to suffer great things for me. We're living in a non-suffering generation of Christians in America. They don't suffer nothing. Amen? And please don't go out to suffer. You might not be able to take it. God's grace might not give you a good enough dose to suffer what others suffer in this world. Amen? But we ought to serve Him because we don't suffer. We should serve Him because of who He is and what He's done for us. And so Peter knew here that God had forgiven him of his sins, amen, had washed him in His blood. But not only that, Peter was there at the day of Pentecost, and Peter was there in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost filled him and he spake as though he was drunk. Peter was there. Peter was there when it come to debating with the Jews about them crucifying the Lord in Acts 2:37 and Acts 2:38. Peter was there when the founding of the first church in Acts in Jerusalem. Peter was the one there preaching to the Jews. He knew what it was to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted the people that he was writing to and the people that he was ministering to know about it too. Down in verse 13, he said this, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," talking about his body, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Peter didn't want them to forget. Peter knew if they was going to stay with the stuff when he was gone, they had to realize who Jesus Christ was. They had to realize how to act. In verse 4 through 8, I think it is. He said, if you do these things, you shall not fail in verse 10. Amen. And so he gave them a long list. He was preparing them for his death, not their death. But at the same time, it prepares them for their death. You realize one day we're going to have to die. You realize one day we're going to step before our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize one day we're going to have to give an account of the things done in the flesh? You realize one day we're going to have to explain why we didn't do what God asked us to do and why we didn't answer the call of God upon our life? And why we answered the call of God upon our life and then never done nothing? You realize God's going to hold us accountable one day? One day He's going to ask us. One day we're going to have to give an account. Amen. And so I want to preach just a few minutes this morning on our, what a Savior our Lord Jesus Christ is. In verse 1, as Peter was writing there, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing I say about our Savior, He's precious. See what Peter said there in verse 1? He's very precious. Something precious means something real, something valuable. If you got something, a precious stone is a very valuable stone, an expensive stone. Jesus Christ, Peter realized that He was very precious, and he realized his faith is very precious. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also said there, with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So He's precious. Not only that, look at grace and peace be multiplied. Not only is He precious to Peter, but he brought grace and He brought peace unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, what a Savior, is the fact He's precious. But the second thing there, you see He's personal. Look in verse 1. Peter, he said, our Savior. You know, if you're not careful, it'll become Brother Charlie's Savior. If you're not careful, young people, it'll become Mama and Daddy's Christianity, Mom and Daddy's church. Amen. If you're not careful, that's what it'll be to you. You'll speak of that thing as not being personal. And I believe when you get personally involved in the things of God and then personally involved with Lord Jesus Christ, it'll mean more to you. It says our. See what it says there? Our Savior. Now, Peter was writing this book to a bunch of believers, but he said there, our Savior. In other words, He's my Savior. He's your Savior. Everybody in here has been born again. He's a personal relationship to you as my Savior. You can refer to Him as my Savior instead of that Savior or the Savior. Peter took it personally. Peter knew that without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was his Savior. He had been put to the test. He had passed the test. He had been put in position to lead. He led. He has been put to where he had to stand up and preach about Him. And withstand persecution because of Him. And so it became real personal. You know why He's not personal this morning to a lot of people? They have had not to endure nothing on account of Him. They hadn't had to put up with nothing. No persecution has ever come their way. No denial, no cursing, no nothing has ever come your way because you're a Christian. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, loved ones, if things keep going like they're going, we're going to be put to the test. Amen? We got to get off the fence if it keeps going like it's going. We'll have to quit straddling the fence. And our little bit of mediocre Christianity that we got, where we come to church on Sunday morning, is going to be put to a test in this country, in this nation. I'll probably be dead and gone when it happens. But there are people sitting here that might have to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Them 26, they walked out on the beach over there and they nailed them down and cut their heads off. All them people had to do was denounce Jesus Christ. That's all they had to do the other day. Amen. When they cut the heads off of 26 Christians over there, all they had to do was say, I denounce the Lord Jesus Christ. The martyrs in the Book of Martyrs, to keep from being burned at the stake, all they required of them was denounce Jesus Christ. Amen. You could be free. You can go free if you'll denounce Jesus Christ. John Bunyan, the years he spent in prison, the condition under those years was all you got to do is quit preaching Jesus Christ. And he said, I will never quit preaching Jesus Christ. And the day they let him out, he went to where he was locked up at the gate and preached Jesus Christ again. We don't have to endure nothing in America to be a Christian. That's why he's not personal. Some of you have never been through anything hard to where you had to depend on him. You've never been through the hardships. You've never been through the operations to where you might not ever get up. You've never been through a divorce court where your life was crushed and your dreams were broken and the person you loved that you thought would never let you down, let you down. That's when he becomes personal to you. That's when nobody can help you but him. That's when he's personal. Peter had been to these places. Peter had walked in these places. Peter knew without a shadow of a doubt that he's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he personal to you this morning? Is he precious? Or he just something you do on Sunday morning? Yeah, gotta go to church again. Well, I hope we can make it this morning. I don't know about coming back tonight. Amen. You know, I'm kind of hard pressed to turn my back on him after what he's done for me. I strive to please him. Well, he's been pretty good to me. Amen. He brought me through some pretty rough times. So, well, the prayers, yes, sir. But is he precious to you this morning? Is he personal? Is he your Savior this morning? Or is he mom and daddy's Savior? Is he just the one Brother Charlie's all excited about? Or Brother Ben's all excited about? Our brother Justice is all excited. Boy, I love to hear Brother Justice preach. Boy, do you love the Lord? You know, when you love the Lord, you love people that love the Lord. You love the brethren, the love of God is in you. Amen. It says, if you love not the brethren, the love of God is not in you. Amen. Is he precious or is he just annoying you this morning to have to be in church for a few hours? Is that, boy, I just can't wait till I get out. I got things planned. I mean, is he not precious enough to just set some time aside once or twice a week and come and sit down and let somebody tell you about him or just get around his people? I like that. I just like being around his people. This old building's pretty lonely here on Sunday morning. Then his people start gathering in. Amen? And then it gets all full of life. Amen? Personal. He told he was personal to Peter. He said, our Savior. Look what you find again there. He's a powerful Savior. Not only is he personal, but he's powerful. Look what he says there in verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's precious. He's personal. He's powerful. He's the greatest power on earth. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28:18, he said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's all power. You know, you better off going to him than you are to the bank. you're better off going to him than you are to a doctor. Don't say that I say don't go to the doctor. But I'm telling you, you better be praying, and you better pray over every situation in your life. Amen. God give us doctors to take care of us, and hospitals to take care of us, and people have knowledge to take care of us. I do not preach that. I do not teach that. Amen. That we don't. Amen. I believe in doctors. Doctors got me back up on my feet. Doctors with wisdom put my back together and got me walking again. Amen. But I'm telling you better pray over it. He is a powerful Savior, and I've seen him do things that nobody else could do except the Lord Jesus. Amen. I've seen him fix things that nobody else could fix. I've seen him heal bodies that nobody else could heal. Hey, the doctors doctor us. Jesus Christ is a great physician. He's the one that heals us. He designed this body to heal us. Our doctors, thank God for doctors. But when you always just going to the doctor, especially a Christian, and never going to the Savior, there's something wrong with that. You need to pray over it. You need to have people praying over it. Because he is all power. I looked up that word, all power, and it applies to two people in the Bible. One of them is Jesus, and the other is the devil. In 2 Thessalonians, ain't that strange? But his power was given by God. You know, if there wasn't no devil, we'd have no way to prove our love for Jesus. You realize that? If there was no temptation, what would it prove that we lived? That we could live for God? He put them two forces in this world to prove our love for him. Eve in the garden could have proved her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's powerful. He's the most powerful thing on earth. The devil's the second most powerful thing on earth. One of the most impressive things about Jesus, other than he has the power to save me, is the power to keep me. Amen. I'm not hanging on. I'm not enduring. I'm not climbing Jacob's ladder. I ain't hope I'm saved one day and lost the next day when I think ugly things or say ugly things or act ugly. Amen. I don't have to pray about being saved again. I pray forgiveness of my sins. But bless God, I'm in, and I'm all the way in, and I'm hooked up, and I'm plugged up. Amen. And I ain't trying to. Amen. It's one thing for the boat to be in the water. It's another thing for water to be in the boat. Amen? Sin cannot get in no more. Why, I've been sealed until the day of redemption. Amen? God, man, get that settled in your life that you're saved. Ain't a thing in the world God can, the devil can do about it. Now, you're going to stay clean? That's up to you. But you find there he's a powerful Savior in verse 3. According to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory is a spiritual aspect of your life. That's a state of absolute happiness, gratification, amen, contentment. More, the virtue there speaks of the moral side of your life, the fleshly side of your life. And that's moral excellency, goodness and righteousness. I can't hardly say that word. Amen. He is everything we ever need. He's all in all. He takes care of the spiritual part and the physical part. Everything you ever need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that he don't buy you cars, and I realize that. But I do realize that he gives you the ability to make money to buy cars. Amen. God is so proud of his truck, and I am too. And I'm proud of him. I tell him, Miss Meyer, after we left here yesterday evening, I said, he turned out to be a good little old boy, didn't he? He said, well, he's really a good little old man. He's still a boy to me. Amen. He'll be a boy till he gets 50 around here. Some of these little ladies, they got 3 or 4 babies, they still girls to me. Amen. But he turned out to be a good boy. Amen. And God has blessed him, and God has blessed him with the ability to make good money. And he went to the trouble, and he was able to get a good vehicle out here to travel. I'm going to tell you, God's children ain't spiritual when they poor. People got crazy ideal about money. We got some nuts in the Bible believing circuit. If you got anything, there ain't no way you got it honestly. That ain't true, brother. God tells us, no telling 300 or 400 times in the Bible what to do with money, so I believe he intended us to have a little bit. He told us to take care of the poor with it, did he not? Amen. He told us to give that the gospel might be sent around the world. Amen. I got around a bunch of them nuts when I first got saved, and I thought they was nuts then. I think they nuts now. Amen. Talking to them yesterday in the class, I said, my favorite color for a car is yellow. My favorite color for money is green. Amen. Well, you just one of them money preachers. Well, somebody owes me a lot of back pay if I'm a money preacher. Takes money to do things. And God provides us that. And God gives us abilities. And when you get your life set up to where you're doing right with your money, just back up and watch God work in your life. Watch Him help you. Watch Him get you down the road. Hey, watch Him make that dollar last a little longer. Amen. Watch Him put you in a position to buy a house that you didn't think you could buy. Watch Him put you in a condition to buy a car you didn't think. Watch Him put you in a condition to have things and go places and do things that you never thought you could ever do. That's God blessing His children. Read the Bible. Read the Bible and read the all through the Old Testament. Read it. God blessed His people. He's powerful enough to do that. He's powerful enough to answer any prayer that we pray, if it's according to His will. He's powerful enough to set a table in front of our enemies in the wilderness. Amen. He can do it. He's powerful enough to confound the people that are against you and coming against you. He did it with Joseph in Egypt there. Amen. When he finally brought him out of the prison house and set him over all of Egypt, God was making provisions for His people of Israel. Amen. When the phantom came to that land, God was making provision way back there with Joseph and putting him in a position to where he could take care of his family and build a great nation of Israel and bring them out of Egypt and totally spoiled Egypt. Boy, you read about those curses. When they came out of Egypt, there was nothing left. All the cattle was gone. All the firstborn was gone. All the grain was gone. All the wheat was gone. All the locusts come in and eat everything green. And all the frogs were stinking. I mean, God brought His children out of that. And He can't deliver you. There's a Red Sea between you and the Promised Land, and God can't get you across it. I've been reading. I'm going back through my Bible again. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff just opening up in there to me. You know, God is the only one that can take a wooden stick and make a living thing, a snake. He made a snake out of it. Oh, Balaam and that donkey he was riding, he began to talk to him. Buddy, that'd freak you out. He done hit that old donkey about 3 times. He turns around, why are you beating on me? You've rode me forever, and now you beat me half to death. The donkey had more sense than old Balaam did, because the donkey seen the angel, amen. Did he not? He hit him 3 times. No donkey just turned and touched up. Boy, how would you like a dog or something you rough to? An old dog just said, look, what's the deal, man? I'm your best friend. You raised me, you petted me, and you done this, you done that, and now you're kicking on me? What's the big deal, man? Amen? Don't you think Jesus sometimes thinks that about us? What you down in the dumps? What you so poor mouthing about? Amen? Why do you hate my people? I've done everything in the world for you. I've died for you. I've provided for you. Amen? I fixed your marriage. I raised your children. I provided for them. When you didn't have groceries, I made sure you had food to eat. I made sure you had a place to sleep. What's the deal now? You turn your back on me. Powerful Savior. I got a little old testimony here I wrote down years ago. But most of you heard about it. When I got saved, January the 29th, 1978, I owned a bar here in Birmingham, and I had a 7-year lease left on that bar. This is where God, first time God showed me who He was, other than saving me. An old boy thought He had me in a lease, had me a 7-year lease. And I think Miss Meyer even went to a lawyer and let her read it. He said, well, it looks like he's really got you. I had a little money. I think I had $6,000 stuck back. And I tried to buy out the lease, and the guy wouldn't buy it out, and wouldn't let me buy it out. And, well, he's going to hold me to the lease, and then he wanted me to fix an old beat-up building and all that stuff. And you do this and that, we'll let you out of it. And I told him one day, I said, well, call me tomorrow evening. I'll talk to my lawyer tomorrow. He called me that evening about 6 o'clock. He said, well, have you made up your mind what you're going to do? And I said, yes, sir, I have. He said, what you going to do? I said, I ain't doing nothing. He said, well, I'm going to have to get my lawyer. I said, well, you get your lawyer. I done got mine. He said, what's his name? I said, Jesus Christ. And he got old, some old shade tree lawyer, and he sent a letter in there. And Miss Meyer had 3 heart attacks. I looked at it, tore it up, and threw it in the garbage. I said, God's taking care of this. Never heard another word. Amen. God set me free of that thing. Amen. Wicked place like that. God set me free. Then the story of my little old Bible. I didn't have no money. I'd sold a little old CB I had in a little pickup truck and went up to the Southern Baptist bookstore. She showed me a new King James. Come back and took it home. I was proud of it. Miss Meyer just tore my Bible all to pieces. She got saved about 2 weeks before I did. She said, man, that thing got mistakes in it all through it. I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I just mark them. She said, I think Brother Trotter said they 4,200 of them. That's quite a bit of marking. Amen. So I went back next morning. Done had my name put on. I was proud of that Bible. Went back next morning, went up there, and I said, ma'am, you sold me the wrong Bible. She said, you wanted a King James. I said, I didn't want a new King James. I said, you sold me the wrong Bible. You misrepresented the sale. That's what they'll do to you in a bookstore. You got a bunch of heathens running these bookstores. And I said, well, I don't want it. She said, well, we can put it on this table over here and sell it for half price. And I hadn't quite got as amount of grace as I got now, and I still don't have a whole lot when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I let her know my opinion of that. I went back to the office, went in an old dirty, filthy bathroom, got on my knees, and said, God, I sure want a Bible, and I don't want that Bible. I said, would you do something about this? I stepped out of that old stinking bathroom, and about 10 minutes the phone rang, and a lady from the bookstore called and said, Mr. Andrews, said, we have discussed this with our manager, and we did misrepresent you. You come up here and get you a King James Bible. Does your God do that? You getting any prayers, ain't you? Amen. He's powerful. Not only look at that, but look if you would in verse 3. He's not only powerful, but he's also providing. A providing Savior. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, he has given to us, providing, all things that pertain to life, physical man, godliness, spiritual man, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory, spiritual, and virtue, fleshly, physical. Amen. He's a providing God. He said, what does he provide? He provides all things. See what it says there? He said, well, I worked and got that. Well, I believe if you're a child of God, I believe God might have helped you out there a little bit. What I know about our church membership here, and I probably don't know all of you personally, but the ones I do know personally, chances are if you hadn't have been for God, you wouldn't be where you're at. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You would not have what you have. Amen? You wouldn't be living at the standard of living that you're living if it hadn't have been for God helping you. Some of you just fell right into it, I'm talking about. You wasn't even looking for it and got a hold of it. Amen? Some of you didn't even get an education to get it. It was just given to you. You just stumbling through the dark, wondering how you're going to make it. And God said, well, here, fool, I'll help you a little bit. Amen? God's been doing that for me and Miss Meyer for 37 years. I mean, when it didn't look like, I'm telling you, I think about the other day, I'm telling you, if God hadn't have saved us, no telling where we'd be today. I don't think we'd be married. I don't think we'd live in the house we're living in. I don't think we'd wear the clothes we're wearing. I don't believe I'd be able to make a living as how I had to make a living if God hadn't have saved me and put me into the ministry. I don't believe I'd have 5 old hot rods sitting around the house. Amen? They're worth a little money. Amen? But for some reason, they ain't for sale. I have an addiction. Worse than drugs could ever be. Well, when you spend 3,000 or 4,000 hours on building one, it's just hard to get rid of. When you turn every bolt on it, never screw on it. But God don't mind me having them. You might, but God don't. Amen. You know, I get on and get the preacher mentioning about an old car or something. You know, some of these big wheel preachers come up and say, you know, I got one. But he kept it a secret like as though there was something wrong with it. I've had a bunch of them. I'm talking about big names. What you got? And I tell them, say, well, I got a 67 Camaro. But it never heard about it. It's not wrong to have an old car. No more than it's wrong to have an old fishing boat. Or an old four-wheel drive. Or an old $2,000 shotgun. To kill a $200 deer. One of them little souped-up four-seat buggies that Stephen fools with. When you rob God to get them, there's something wrong with it. You ain't robbing God to get them, amen, enjoy them. Amen. He's a providing Savior. So what does He provide? He provides our salvation. He provides our needs. Amen. I shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. I believe He's pretty rich, so I believe I have a lot of needs. Amen. And He provides my needs. And you know what I found out about my Savior? He provides my wants. If they were within His will. I've had this poem for years. I want to read it. I don't mean to bore you with a lot of reading. It's Heaven's Grocery Store. It said, I was walking down life's highway a long time ago. One day I saw a sign that read, Heaven's Grocery Store. As I got a little closer, the door came open wide, and when I came to myself, I was standing inside. Said, I saw a host of angels. They were standing everywhere and handed me a basket and said, my child, shop with care. Everything a Christian needed was in the store, the grocery store, and all you couldn't carry, you could come back the next day for more. Said, first I got some patience. Love was in the same row. Further down was understanding. You need that everywhere you go. I got a box or two of wisdom and a bag of faith. I couldn't just miss the Holy Ghost. He was all over the place. I stopped to get some strength and courage to help me run this race. By then my basket was getting full, but I remembered I needed some grace. I didn't forget salvation, for salvation was free. So I tried to get enough of that to save both you and me. Then I started up the counter to pay my grocery bill, and I thought I had everything to do my master's will. As I went up the aisle, I saw prayer, and I just had to put that in. For I know when I stepped outside, I would run right into sin. Peace and joy was plentiful. They were on the last shelf. Song and praises was hanging near, so I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, how much do I owe? He just smiled and said, just take them everywhere you go. Again, I smiled at him and said, how much do I owe? He smiled again and said, my child, Jesus paid your bill a long time ago. That's God's grocery store. Amen. We have a providing Savior. We have a Savior that's willing and able to provide us with all our spiritual needs. Amen. And with all our physical needs. And many times if He withheld something from you, perhaps it would be bad for you if He gave it to you. How often have I seen material things take people out of church? They can't handle the material blessings of God. How often have we prayed good jobs in and see the people totally disappear out of our church? Have we not done that? You folks been here long, have we not seen that? Pray a good job in for a person, and next thing you know, they're out of church. And then the last thing you'll find there, He's a promising Savior. Look in verse 4. Whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what we need to be. Having escaped the corruption as in the world through lust. And then he begins to tell us of them there. And I preached on that several times here out of those next several verses. But he's a promising Savior. You know, he promised us, he said, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know he gave you this promise? I supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. You know, in John 14, he said, I will come again. So what do you base the second coming of the Lord on? I will come again. I don't need to read a book on the second coming. I don't need to study the second coming. I don't need to dissect the second coming. I don't need to do nothing except believe John chapter 14, verse 6. That's all I need. I will come again. That settled it for me. I don't need a witness. I don't need to back it up with another verse. That just settled it right there. I will come again. Period. He said over there in Matthew 20, he said, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ain't that a good promise? He says, Ask and you shall receive. Boy, that's a pretty good one, ain't it? He said also, And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, you can take just that little group of promises there and win the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, they come from our Lord. They great, so what it says there, has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I don't know about you, but about five or six of them in there is very precious to me, and they was very great to me. I remember the night I called upon the name of the Lord, and He saved my soul. Amen? That's a pretty good promise. I remember there where He said, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has never left me nor forsake me. I've left Him and forsaken Him a time or two. In my heart and in my life, amen, never been out of church, never ever been backslidden as far as getting out of church, never. But boy, there have been some times this old heart wandered off. There have been some time my love for Him has wandered off. There have been some time that my affection and my surrendered life to Him probably has been trying to be taken back. There have been some times that I hadn't been as excited about Him as I should, but I have never left Him, amen, and to the point of leaving Him physically. But I'm telling you, I know I broke His heart, but I tell you one thing, He never left me. He said, I supply all your needs according to riches and glory. You ever had to put that to the test? You ever had to take that verse to Him? You need to pray scripturally. Take that verse over there and say, God, here's what you said, and God, I got a need. There's some of you in here now, you probably need to do that. Not a want now, a need. You ever had a baby sick, no insurance, no money? You have to take that to Him. Amen? We went 13 years without insurance for my family. Couldn't afford it. God, I couldn't afford it now. There's been many a time our babies had them hot fevers, and me and Miss Mary get down on the side of that bed and lay our hands on them. Too much doctor going today. Don't be stupid, but don't be stupid. You know what I'm talking about? Don't be stupid, but don't be stupid. Or what that's talking about. Every once in a while, won't you just try to trust God a little bit? Give that poor old doctor a break. God, he needs some rest. And get off of Dr. Google. The worst cases are on the internet, not the success stories. The worst. Amen? I said, Lo, I'm with you. Have you ever had to put that? I was going over Northern Ireland back in the 90s. That's when they were bumming everything, blowing up everything. And I had to claim out a time or two over there. They put a van into a police station a half block from Brother Robbie's church, set about, I don't know how much explosive. That van blowed, went down into the sewer system and run throughout that town, cracked the windows in that church building. You just have to hang on there, amen? Stop you, get you out, go all over the car and search you down. Lo, I'm with you always. Amen. He's a promising Savior. And He will fulfill His promise. I guess one of the greatest illustrations I have of that, not personally, and I have a lot of personal illustrations. When I first started out preaching, I preached at Bessemer Rescue Mission. Now it's called the Foundry, and it cost you $1,000 to stay down there a month. Totally changed that. That's what it cost down there, $1,000 a month. Am I telling the truth? Three-ring circus down there, what that's all about. I went down there and preached, and they had five or six men always there. And we down there one night, and I don't know, some of the church folks might have been down there with us. And got through preaching, and somebody come to me and said, there's a man outside who wants to talk to you. Went out there and got talking to him. He'd been drinking. He spent some time in prison. And then they found out that he wasn't guilty of the crime they sentenced him to. His wife and her boyfriend got burned up in the house and accused it on him. Then found out somebody else confessed to the crime. And this little fellow was out there, and I brought him inside and witnessed to him, led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. About 3 days later, I looked in the paper, and his name was in there. He'd got hit by a truck or a car down here on Bethlehem Super Highway and got killed. And I seen where the funeral was going to be, and I called Brother Bill Downing, and he was with me that night, and I said, let's go down there and see if we can comfort that family. Went down there, and a daughter, a woman, I didn't know it was his daughter, but she was standing at the head of the coffin crying, and I walked up and introduced myself. I said, ma'am, I just wanted to come and tell the family that this man accepted Christ Monday night or whenever it was. And this little daughter, she stopped crying and she started laughing. And she's hugging me and Brother Bill. And she said, I knew my God would save him. My God promised me that he would save him. And her sadness and her countenance turned from gloom to joy. And she said, I knew he wouldn't let me down. I knew Jesus wouldn't let me down. And I won that man to the Lord that night. That's why you need to go. That's why you need to knock on every door. That's why you need to tell everybody. You never know. You never know. Amen. And that man went home to be with the Lord that day, that evening down there in front of. Well, back in those days, it's called the Bluebird. He'd stepped out or truck run over him or something there. And he'd went home to be with the Lord. But he promised that little old woman. She was a Christian, and she said, we've been praying for him for years. She said he was done wrong, and he was hurt, and he was mad, and he was sad, and he was hardly able to talk to him. And she said, but God promised, and God done what he promised. You know, the Lord made us a lot of promises in there. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to put him to the test? Amen. You willing to hold him to it? Hold him accountable? When you pray, pray believing. And pray scripturally. Sometimes in my times of life, I have to go to the Bible and say, God, you said. Now, he don't need to be reminded, but he needs to know that we know. You ain't reminding him what's wrote in this book. He already knows. But take this Bible to him and say, God, here's what you said, and here's what I'm asking you to do. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We got the greatest Savior, amen. Our God is a good God, and our God is a good Savior. And he loves us, and he wants to do good by us, amen. Let's bow our heads.